97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
To the town of our free, who rode a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
What am I waiting for? Was that it?
Yeah.
Oh, that was all I was waiting for?
It's Big Iron by Marty Robbins.
Right. I know. I knew I had to wait for a certain part.
That's it.
But sing it with me, Tony.
Why didn't you become like one of the Oak Ridge Boys? Why didn't you go into that? Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stage fright?
You're on the radio.
You've been on the radio for 72 years.
Okay, let's explain to the listeners. You're in a padded room by yourself where you belong. You talk to yourself for hours and hours and hours.
And hundreds and thousands of people are listening to you.
No, how
many appearances have you made? How many times you've been on TV? How many times have you been on stage introducing bands and things like that?
I have spoke to Busch Stadium, 50-some thousand people before.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem. No stage fright. Got to sing?
Can't do it.
Can't do it?
Can you do karaoke?
And I've tried. Heck no.
Okay.
Nope. But I forget the words, even when I got the karaoke screen.
And this is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
And karaoke lessons.
That's right. Welcome to...
Now, in the shower, I will say I'm awesome in the shower.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah, that means. I'm not even sure I want to know what that means.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews. This is normally the part where I ask Bo what's happening, Bo, but
we're kind of already
down the road on that one.
Talked about me in the shower.
No kidding.
Some leaf blowing before this. Yeah.
Got a great show on tap for you today. We are going to talk to our friends at Osage County Guns a little bit later on. We are also going to talk to Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller. And right now, we're going to start the show the way we always do with our friend Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Aaron, what's happening, buddy?
Oh, living the dream, guys. Getting ready for Christmas and the new year. And kind of watching all this stuff unfold with the elections.
Yeah.
So
how you feeling about that right now?
I don't know what's going on.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Like, I'm just going to say, nobody claimed 2021 as their freaking year, okay?
You got that right.
Saw where it got us in 2020. I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I don't know. There's just a lot of information, a lot of disinformation, but I will say this. We haven't seen any violence out of one of these political groups with, you know, people's certain ideology. And with that being said, we're not seeing violence because they think they're in control, right? So it's going to be a very peaceful Christmas, hopefully a very peaceful New Year's too. And if... Trump gets reelected, I think they're going to start up their shenanigans again.
Mm.
So we'll go with that. And I've seen that kind of outlined that they will be doing that through various special interest groups, etc. So I like the fact that there's no unrest right now. It's been great.
Yeah.
I think what's amazing to me is that we haven't really heard a lot from the Democrats pushing back on a rigged election or, you know, whatever. And they could have done that in 2016. And why wouldn't they be concerned about this election as the population, the mainstream liberals, if you will, the moderate liberals? It's just shocking to me because somebody early on, like the Friday after the election, I made the comment about, hey, you know, it's going to take some time. We're going to figure it out. And somebody that, you know, I highly respect said, they were offended that I said that I didn't just call it like on Tuesday night, election night, the day that it happened. I'm like, what? And here we are over a month out. I don't think I was dead wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't really know what's going on. We got all these pending lawsuits still. It's just kind of craziness. So I was kind of reading a little bit this morning, and like there's still really no clear answer, you know, one way or the other. So I guess I'm just going to remain neutral, which I try to do as much as I can. But yeah, it's wild.
Well, so, I wanted go ahead.
How about them Cardinals?
I wanted to continue our series of the Joe Biden, what is it, the plan to end our gun violence epidemic. We've, for the last few weeks, we've been kind of going through Joe Biden's website with Aaron and looking at all of the different policies on them. This is, again, on Joe Biden's website. We're not making this up. We're not accusing him of anything that people are listening and go, oh, Joe's not going to do that. He's that. You guys are exaggerating. No, these are the things off of his website. So
you can't believe his website, Tony. Now, come on.
Well, the website says they have delivered us a clear victory, a convincing victory.
So
what?
Here's one that I wanted to get your thoughts on, Aaron, especially as a somebody who sells guns. One of the policies on his website is reduce stockpiling of weapons. In order to reduce the stockpiling of firearms, Biden supports legislation restricting the number of firearms an individual may purchase per month to one. That just sounds like we're just making things up to write something down. I mean,
yeah.
What?
So, yeah, you're right, Tony. We're just kind of throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what sticks. So I recently got a ban on Facebook. You know, I love those.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I said, Biden is going to be the gun salesman of the century.
Yeah.
And I got me banned for inciting violence.
Really?
Yeah, I swear. And so
no
I started
kidding.
Another,
how many times have you been banned from Facebook?
That's four times this year.
And, that's not a record.
that's a mild year. You know, the other one was for talking about ammo prices going up, you know, with the wholesalers and manufacturers, and that got me banned too. So anyway, kind of getting into this, I got banned, and I bring this up because I started another Facebook account, like as if I don't have six of these things already, and I decided to kind of jump into the old groups that I had been banned from, you know, like the Mothers for Gun Control or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in one of these groups, and somebody says, one gun registered, you have to take classes and pay an annual fee. Like, you know, and I'm like, you're weak on gun control. And that didn't get me banned. But my point is, though, you know, now this is the topic, you know, one gun and one gun only, or one gun a month. And before it was,
you know, how many people come in and buy? How many of your customers buy more than one gun a month?
It depends. You know, we have, so you know, you kind of you ask that question, and we do have collectors that come in. They come in and they say, "Oh wow, look, you got a bunch of these old Smith and Wesson revolvers in, and I don't have this model 19-2. I got the model 19-1, so I'll buy the 2. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, later in the month, we get a 19-3 in, and they come in and buy the 19-3. And then we get in a old, you know, Savage Stevens shotgun, and they go, I got to have it because it's old, you know. And so we do have these collectors. But one of the things that was said in this group is we have to end gun worship in this country. And I'm thinking to myself, gun worship? I mean, you're talking about guys that collect guns, like myself, right? Like I had a buddy over the other day, and we took him in to my one safe, and I started pulling stuff out. He goes, this is your World War II collection safe, isn't it? I said, well, there's more than just World War II stuff in here. You know, there's some World War I, and then there's, you know, just some older stuff that isn't made anymore. I was like, but you are correct. This is my safe that has, you know, just the older collectible kind of stuff in it. And my other safe is, you know, the modern day production. You can walk into Southern Armory and buy it today if you've got the cash. So with all that being said, yeah, one gun per month. We're just throwing stuff at a wall, seeing what sticks. And, you know, what'll happen is the wife that has no interest in firearms, she's going to start buying one gun a month as well. And as soon as you start limiting people, I'm being serious, As soon as you start limiting people on what they can buy, then all of a sudden they want to buy more of them. So just like the bump stock thing, right? We had we ordered three bump stocks a year. We sold out almost instantaneously, and we couldn't get a hold of any more, all because the government said we're going to ban them.
Yeah, nobody cared about them until you said you couldn't have them. That's when people wanted them.
You couldn't have them. Right. So now all of a sudden you're going to say, oh, you can only buy one gun a month. Well, now people that would have only bought, now the average person, I think the statistic I last heard was they buy like 9 guns a year. Like, this is, you know, probably not your average Joe. This is like average Joe plus, you know, like your hardcore collector, where they go out and they want to buy, you know, guns, and they on average, it's like 8 or 9 guns a year is what somebody will buy. And I found that, you know, kind of interesting, because I know people that only buy, maybe only had 12 guns to their name, and they collected them over several years.
I only have 2. Like, what am I doing? I only have two, and I feel
you're
like
slacker.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm, you know, pretty
you're
normal.
Behind.
I feel like I'm pretty normal. Bring
a friend. Okay, Tony.
Go ahead, Bo.
Tony, did you print off the Biden list of Second Amendment stuff? Because I'm on his website, and I can't find a link for any of those promises.
I had the same problem today. He has altered his website, and you actually have to type in now joebiden.com/gunsafety to get to the plan. You know, but you're right. I had the same problem today. He has altered his website, and in fact, he took down all of his plans. Not just the
all of his promises,
all of the policies, all of the things, every issue that, you know, in his plan for every single issue has been removed from his website. Now, maybe by the time people hear this, they'll log on and they'll go, no, it's not. It's right here. I don't know. Maybe they're making some kind of transition. But yeah, I had the same problem today, Bo. It is it's weird.
And he didn't do that. It was his grandchildren that did that.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Bo. Go ahead.
So, well, no, here's the other thing is it says at the very bottom of it, together we can make Donald Trump a one-term president and defeat Republicans across the country. Donate today. And the categories of amounts is $15, $32, $50, $250, and other. Where did the 32 come from?
I think that's a Harris thing. I think that is something about Kamala Harris's.
Oh.
I think that's like a certain number.
That number has something to do.
Yeah.
I would have assumed it had something to do with like donation laws and like the amount you can donate or something.
I thought it was a typo.
So, Aaron, before we run out of time, I want to get your thoughts on one more thing, because this is another one that we've talked about forever. There's always this discussion about background checks. And on his website, he says that he wants to require background checks for all gun sales. It says, today, an estimated 1 in 5 firearms are sold or transferred without a background check. Biden will enact universal background check legislation requiring a background check for all gun sales with very limited exceptions, such as gifts between close family members. This will close the so-called gun show and online sales loophole, something we've discussed many times, but not in a while, so you can fill people in on that. That the Obama-Biden administration narrowed, but which cannot be fully closed by executive action alone. Can you tell us the truth about the quote-unquote gun show? And I've never even heard the addition of an online sales loophole. What is that, Aaron, and is it real?
So the online sales is not a loophole per se. The online sales is basically, how do I say this? If you buy a gun online, it has to go to a licensed dealer for a background check. Mm-hmm. So there is no loophole other than the fact you can get online and try to find a good deal on a firearm, which right now with the industry the way it is you're seeing crazy prices online, et cetera. Then it comes to a dealer again. You do a background check, no big deal. Now the gun
and
show
I'm sure there's some way to get on, you know, to get on some shady website somewhere that's not, that's not in the United States, and maybe illegally purchase a firearm that way. But all gun sales by retailers in the United States, online or otherwise, has a background check attached to it, right? And the same thing with the gun show. Correct me if I'm wrong on that statement.
Yeah. So every every licensed dealer has books. Mm-hmm. Okay, and if you come into our store, you'll see our books out a lot because we're checking guns in, we're checking guns out of our books. And the ATF comes in and audits us about every 2 to 3 years, make sure that all the guns that they know about are on our books, and that every gun on our books, if it's not in our possession, has a corresponding background check. If we do not comply with this, they take our license, which means we're out of business. So, you know, you don't do those type of things. The other half of this is gun shows, and when you look at gun shows, those are sanctioned events. Now, this is actually a topic that comes up quite frequent in the store with just regular old, you know, gun owners that want to go to a gun show and do some trading, which contributes to that 9 a year, right? People trade guns in, buy new guns, etc. And then you have the Tony Columbos of the world that have bought 2 guns in their lifetime. So when you look at sanctioned gun shows, a sanctioned gun show is an extension of the premise. So nobody can come in. I had to tell some guys the other day, like, if you're gonna do a person-to-person transaction, you can't do it here because you're on a licensed premise. So that means the dealer has to be involved. So these guys were, you know, we didn't want to buy this shotgun. The guy wanted way too much for it. Another guy said, yeah, I'll pay way too much for it. I'm like, perfect. You guys want to do a background check here? No. I was like, then you guys got to, if you're going to conduct business, you got to leave the store. You got to leave the premise. You cannot be at 9901 Watson Road and do this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because mm-hmm. the ATF says it cannot be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Same hey, thing Tony. With
go ahead, Bo.
Scrolling down on Biden's website, it says he's going to end the online sales of firearms and ammunition. He's going to enact legislation to prohibit all online sales of firearms, ammunition, kits, and gun parts. And what's also the scary part is he wants to incentivize the red flag laws.
Oh,
he wants to incentivize it.
We'll get into that. We've talked a lot about red flag laws. We need to get back into that, though, next week for sure, because there's just so much there. There's these buzzwords that are used and have been used by the anti-gun crowd for so long that you need to go to places like Southern Armory, go on Southern Armory's Facebook page and ask questions, ask Aaron what the truth is, and get the actual information on these things. And we'll continue to try to bring you as much of that truth as well. Aaron, before we go, remind folks how they can find you out there at Southern Armory.
Yeah, so come in, see us in person. We're open noon to 6 COVID hours, right? Noon to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. We're closed on Sundays and Mondays, mostly so we can keep up with inventory and the bookwork to be in compliance with federal law. And so 9901 Watson Road, 1 mile east of 270 and 44. You can find us on Southern Armory Facebook and Second Amendment News Podcast Facebook. And well as SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com. Mm-hmm.
And that is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Always great to talk with you, Aaron. We'll talk to you same time next week.
Yep. Next week, guys.
You
stay
bet.
Safe.
You too. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk to our friend Virginia Cruda from the Daily Caller. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Be kind, be kind. When he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
So I mentioned on the show last week that I had hoped to get out on the water that weekend, and I indeed did get to do a little fishing last weekend. It felt great. It was a little chilly, but as our buddy Mike Marfell always says, it's fishing season until the water's hard, and the water was not frozen. And it was actually there was a lot of activity on the water. I didn't get a chance to be out there too long, but it was much more active than I thought it was going to be. And so it gives me hope that there's still plenty of fishing days left in 2020. If you're going to be getting out on the water, don't forget about our friends out at Bluff City Outdoors. Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois, open all year round. So if you need to stock up the tackle box, they are there for you. They, of course, have the big catfish gear. They have a huge selection of bass and crappie lures. Everything you need to go fishing, they have you covered at Bluff City. Bluff City Outdoors in Alton, Illinois. Check them out at BluffCityOutdoors.com.
back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. You heard me just talking about getting outside to go fishing. We've actually had some pretty good weather this past week, and it's always a great time to take advantage of those days and get out into the great outdoors. And anytime we're talking about the great outdoors here on the station, it's brought to you by
Razorback Armory. They're your full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts. Got a gun that needs repair? Bring it to them. Want to consign one? They do that too, but they've got a great selection of their own. RazorbackArmory.com, and it's in DePere on Manchester Road, just east of 270. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
And Bo, we have a clarification on your question about the 32, the number 32. Being a Biden donation, where you could donate $32, which was a seemingly random number. Carl, you thought it had something to do with Kamala, and it indeed does.
It does. Kamala Harris was the 32nd Attorney General of the state of California, and I believe the first woman of color. So that is like a milestone.
So
kind of
32 is kind of her number. And so that's why they put the $32 donation on her website.
Well, thanks for clarifying that,
Now
Carl.
You know. Hey. And knowing is half the battle. Let's get our friend Virginia Cruda into the conversation now. Virginia from the Daily Caller, great to talk with you as always. How's it going?
I can't complain. Having a pretty good week.
Good.
How are you?
I can't complain either, right? I mean, it's just
and if you did, who would
nobody's
who would do
listening
about it?
Yeah, exactly.
I'd listen.
And after this year, if you don't laugh, you're gonna have to cry. So you may as well laugh. Virginia, I wanted to have you on today to kind of give us an update. We were just talking in that last segment with Aaron, and you know, people are still, I think, you know, many people, especially on the right, Trump supporters, or just, you know, people who are not very excited about a Joe Biden administration, keep saying things like, you know, if Joe Biden is the next president, or when we find out the results of this election. As far as you've been keeping an eye on everything, how far along into this process are we? When will we have a resolution and know one way or the other, you know, if these lawsuits are going to continue or if they're going to shut down? Are we within a week of that whole thing coming to an end, or is there no end in sight?
You know, I don't think we're that close. Honestly, I think this is going to go on for a while. I think the attorneys have kind of made it clear that they're going to go forward as far as they can with this. And on the one hand, I would say that they need to do that because we need to know. Like, I've told you this before. You know, if there's something going on that's going to impact the outcome of an election, we need to know about it, right?
All Americans
and it
do.
Shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It shouldn't matter if your guy is currently the winner or not the winner. You know, if there's something wrong, we all have a vested interest in knowing that, because next time it might not be your guy. You know, it's kind of the same thing. Like they warned Harry Reid, the Democrat who used to be the Senate Majority Leader. Mm-hmm. They warned him that the nuclear option was a bad idea.
Yeah.
And eventually it's going to be used against you. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Republicans have seated three Supreme Court justices in part because Harry Reid didn't have the foresight to realize they weren't wrong.
Yep. It was the instant gratification. And Republicans are just as guilty.
Yeah.
You know, they have the power.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, you feel like, oh, this is such an important moment. We've got to change the rules to get what we want right now. But nobody stays in power forever. And you're right. Harry Reid let open Pandora's box. And then Mitch McConnell, you know, opened it even more. And, you know, and you know, if the Democrats get control again, Chuck Schumer will probably dump it out. You know, it's just like they just keep on, it keeps on expanding more and more and backfiring on the people that put it into place.
Well, and I mean, let's be clear. It's backfiring on the people who put it into place, but it's also backfiring on the American people because some of these rules were put into place to protect our voices. And now the one thing I will say about this, you know, the other lawsuits have been thrown out. But what's interesting about the lawsuit coming from Texas is that they're arguing a violation of the Equal Protection Clause, which every citizen has equal protection under the law. You know the deal. They're arguing that because secretaries of state and courts in these swing states went outside the legislature to determine new rules under the threat of coronavirus, which, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people were in favor of, but does kind of circumvent the legal process for changing election law.
Possibly broke federal law.
Right. So this is supposed to be done through the legislature. And because they didn't do it through the legislature, Texas is saying you undermined your state's legal recourse for changing election law. And in doing so, you allowed votes that were probably illegal, and that waters down our votes. So if you are outside of these states, your votes now have less value because they didn't do their due diligence and they're allowing an illegal process to open the door for possibly illegal votes. They're not saying you had this many illegal votes. They're saying because you undermined the process, we can't have faith in the outcome. So it's a very interesting legal rabbit hole to get down. But it's a better argument than, hey, we think there's fraud and five dead people might have voted illegally in Georgia. So, I mean, there's a lot more at stake here. So I think that it's interesting the way that they're going to argue it. And I think it's really, really telling that Ted Cruz has stepped up and said, I will argue this case if it goes to the Supreme Court.
That would be awesome.
Hey, Virginia, isn't it odd? I saw the Daily Beast put an email out. Isn't it odd that the Hunter Biden money laundering probe went largely unnoticed until now? And I mean, is there connections to these dots here? Because, I mean, if the things were true about Hunter and his dad, the big guy, well, yes. Wouldn't that be a treasonous event? And there's no way we can swear him in on the 20th.
I don't know if you saw my tweet in response to that. Sam Stein at the Daily Beast tweeted about how it went largely unnoticed. And I'm like, okay, you literally referred to the Hunter Biden story. I was talking to Sam Stein at the Daily Beast. Referred to the Hunter Biden story as alleged Hunter Biden porn. And multiple outlets and platforms actively and aggressively suppressed this story. So, you know, it went largely unnoticed. That's a really weird way to say we went out of our way to make sure you didn't see this.
Right.
So, yeah.
So my question, going back to my question.
I think it does have an impact. I think, and they've even done polling since the election. I mean, I know how we put our faith in polls and everything around here, but they've done polling to say people, there were a lot of people who said, after the election, if I had known this about Hunter Biden, I might have changed my vote, or right, I might have at least reconsidered. So, yeah, it has an impact, but I think that the unwillingness of journalists to tell a story that was obviously a story is part of what influenced the. It's not just the story and whether or not Biden was involved that changed the outcome of an election, but it's the unwillingness of journalists to put that story out there that changed the outcome.
You know what journalists are willing to put that?
It's aiding and abetting.
Yeah, you know what journalists are willing to put that out there? The journalists at the Daily Caller. See, that's how you bring it. That's how you bring it all together right there. Virginia, we are unfortunately just about out of time. We got to get you back on really, really soon. But for people that want to follow all the things that you guys are working on, you personally there and everybody at the Daily Caller, how can they follow you?
DailyCaller.com, at DailyCaller on Twitter. You can follow me directly at VA Cruda. And I will just say one thing about the incoming Biden administration.
Yeah.
If they wanted to signal that they were not serious about holding China's feet to the fire, they could not do any better than appointing Mayor Pete as the ambassador to China.
That is such a great point. Yeah, that is such a great point. How is Mayor Pete qualified to be the person representing
He speaks eight languages. Interests. But not Mandarin.
Right.
Right. How bizarre and random. You're so right. We'll have to pick up the conversation there the next time we have you on, Virginia, which we will do very, very soon. Always great to talk with you, my friend. If we don't talk beforehand, have a great holiday.
You too.
All right. We got to take another
Keep up the good fight.
Yeah, absolutely. DailyCaller.com. Make sure you check out Virginia and all of her colleagues there. It's great, great stuff. Let's take another quick break. When we get back, we'll talk to our friends at Osage County Guns. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
It is the holidays, and if you have a Second Amendment supporter in your family or in your circle, I want you to go to Razorback Armory and do a little shopping. Now, of course, you can't buy a firearm as a gift for somebody, but you can buy them accessories and ammo and cases and safes. They've got it all in that store on Manchester Road in De Pere. It's just a half mile east of 270. Razorback Armory does such a fine job in outfitting an AR for instance. If you have somebody that is an AR platform fan, well, then you can go in there and get them an optics or a flashlight or something that can clip or a clip. I mentioned a clip. But Razorback Armory is fantastic. It's not a huge store, but they are specializing in all of the customization that you want to do. Go check them out. Go meet Jesse, Brad, and Kenny. They'll take good care of you at Razorback Armory. Find them on RazorbackArmory.com and tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
I get up, I get down, and I'm jumping around.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. I want to remind you about our podcast. We are just about to talk to our friends at Osage County Guns, John and Jake at Osage County Guns. Going to finish the show with them. And then we are going to continue that discussion in our podcast exclusive. We put out two podcasts of this show every week. The show podcast goes out on Friday, so you can actually download the podcast and take it with you before it even airs. You can have it with you all weekend long. And then the podcast exclusive comes out every Monday. Looking forward to this week, especially with John and Jake, so we can continue our discussion here. Also, want to remind you about our friends out at Bluff City Outdoors. I mentioned that I got a chance to go fishing last week for the first time in quite some time. Woo! And it was cold, but it was still a very good time.
You didn't say what you caught.
Never too late. I only caught one fish, but I only fished for about an hour and a half. And it was way more active. The water was way more active than I thought it was going to be. I was ready for it to be just kind of dead, and it wasn't. Not too late to go fishing. Remember, Bluff City Outdoors over there in Alton, Illinois, open all year round to fill your fishing needs. Find them also online at BluffCityOutdoors.com and find our podcast everywhere that you get podcasts, but especially the radio.com app. That's the best place to get it. Let's go ahead and get John and Jake from Osage County Guns on the line. Fellas, always great to talk with you. How's it going?
Hey, it's going.
So we only have a few minutes left on the show this week, but I have a lot of things that I want to talk to you guys about, so we'll get to as much of it as we can here on the air, and then, like I said, everybody make sure you download the podcast on Monday, the podcast exclusive, so you can hear the rest of our conversation. Before we dive in, what is the latest at Osage County Guns? It's been a little bit since we talked to you. How are things out there as we kind of come to an end of this crazy year? Is it still extremely busy? Is it still hard to keep things on the shelves, or is it calming down a bit?
Yeah, it's, I guess it's, everything is the same as it was, if not worse, I suppose.
Really?
Or better, better.
Yeah, it's been crazy busy, but the demand is not dropping. I mean, it's just crazy. We see a lot of inventory coming in, but it's going right back out so fast that we're actually still shrinking inventory, even though we've had, and continue to have these massive shipments coming in every day.
Man, that is incredible. Are you surprised by that? Doesn't it feel like at some point everybody should have a gun. like doesn't it feel like we have all these, we've heard all these stories about these first time gun owners, and which, you know, has been a big part of what's driven the craziness in the industry this year. But at some point, don't you feel like everybody's going to have their guns and feel safe? It's just incredible to me that it's been able to, the craziness has sustained as long as it has.
Yeah, I think the country realized that there's not really a gun behind every blade of grass, and so they said we gotta kick these numbers up a little bit.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, it's crazy. Do you have any? Does it show any signs of slowing down, or do you think we're gonna go into 2020 or 2021 just as busy as 2020 has been?
It's not looking good. I think we're not going to see this let up anytime soon. And Jake's more connected to the manufacturers and to our reps. I don't interface with them as much as Jake does. So I'll probably let him, you know, share what he's hearing and seeing. But my thinking is this isn't going away.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey guys, can I ask you, if you were to do a percentage of sales between personal protection and hunting and collection, what would that breakdown be for your, you know, the bulk of your customers?
That's an interesting question. You're in the industry and standard, you're always, you know, when you look at firearm sales in general, 60% of firearm sales are handguns. So right off the bat, there's more protection than there is anything else. Then the rest of that percentage, you know, 60% plus is handguns. Then you've got long guns. Out of that, you know, there's a larger portion, probably only about 5% shotguns, you know, 10% maybe long guns, bolt action rifle-wise. Everything else is a semi-auto, whether an AR, AK style variant. So there's still probably a lot more on the defense side, but the hunting side's really picked up. You know, everybody talks about all these new firearms buyers for the year, but you also have to look at, because of the shortage in food, the amount of hunting participation and new hunters has also climbed.
Right.
And mm-hmm. not as drastic, but it's kind of somebody, I don't think a lot of people really look at it or talk about it much, but the hunting participation and the fact that people are kind of getting out there looking at, well, if I can't buy food, I can at least harvest my own food and put it in the freezer.
And they can get out. And when everything's closed and you're looking for things to do, maybe you're, I'm serious, like a lot of people have been reintroduced to the great outdoors in this year where people are looking for things to do. And they're kind of remembering that it's pretty cool to go fishing and go hunting and things like that.
Before a year ago, people would say you're a conspiracy theorist, but now I'm looking at YouTube videos on how to clean squirrel. I'm being serious.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said that, you know, for several years, myself included, I didn't buy meat from a store for years because I hunted a lot and I was lucky to harvest enough animals to keep in the freezer and provide for my family. And, you know, it's harder to do in certain places at certain times, but I think there's a lot more people out there getting out there. I mean, we're selling hunting rifles and hunting rifles right now. If you haven't found it and you want it, you're going to have to wait. I've got a lot of stuff that's probably not going to be here till April of next year, even if I order it today. So
how about the collection? Do you guys get collectors in, specifically the really unique weapons?
Yeah, there's still a pile of people out there looking for stuff. And I think some of that rush gets pushed up because whenever the panic is there, you know, people start to relinquish some old stuff to buy new stuff. And then those collectors kind of pop up and say, well, I better grab it now because I may not grab it later. And so there's definitely a little bit of push for that too.
So some of the things I want to talk about as we wrap this up and go into the podcast exclusive, and just to give you guys an idea of one of the questions I'm going to ask and give a tease to the folks. I've had this question a lot. People that want to give a firearm as a Christmas present. How can you do that? Is it even possible to do that? That's one of the things we're going to discuss in the podcast exclusive. Before we wrap things up here, guys, how can people find and learn more about Osage County Guns?
Easiest way is hit us, Google us, just Osage County Guns. Google will autocorrect if you misspell. on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. But the bulk of our inventory can be found at osagecountyguns.com. And the stock status is generally very accurate. So if it says it's in stock, it is physically under our roof.
But you better hurry.
And get it.
Yeah. Get there fast because it's there when you see it. But by the time you drive there, somebody might beat you to it. That is John Dawson and Jake Fair from Osage County Guns. Like I said, we're going to continue our talk with them in the podcast exclusive. So make sure you check that out. And we got to wrap this up for this week's show. My name is Tony Colombo for Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Here we go. Get more at 971talk.com.
It is the holidays, and if you have a Second Amendment supporter in your family or in your circle, I want you to go to Razorback Armory and do a little shopping. Now, of course, you don't want to, you can't buy a firearm for as a gift for somebody, but you can buy them accessories and ammo and cases and safes. They've got it all in that that store on Manchester Road in De Pere. It's just a half mile east of 270. Razorback Armory does such a fine job in outfitting an AR for you, for instance. If you have somebody that is, you know, is an AR platform fan, well, then you can go in there and get them an optics or a flashlight or something that can clip or a clip. I mentioned a clip. But Razorback Armory is fantastic. It's not a huge store, but they are specializing in all of the customization that you want to do. Go check them out. Go meet Jesse, Brad, and Kenny. They'll take good care of you at Razorback Armory. Find them on RazorbackArmory.com and tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
I get up, I get down, and I'm jumping around. And the rumpus and ruckus are comfortable.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with producer Carl Middleman.
Hello.
And my partner, Bo Matthews. Want to remind you about our podcast. We are just about to talk to our friends at Osage County Guns, John and Jake at Osage County Guns, going to finish the show with them, and then we are going to continue that discussion in our podcast exclusive. We put out two podcasts of this show every week. The show podcast goes out on Friday, so you can actually download the podcast and take it with you before it even airs. You can have it with you all weekend long, and then the podcast exclusive comes out every Monday. Looking forward to this week, especially with John and Jake, so we can continue our discussion here. Also, want to remind you about our friends out at Bluff City Outdoors. I mentioned that I got a chance to go fishing last week for the first time in quite some time. Woo! And it was cold, but it was still a very good time.
You didn't say what you caught.
Never too late. I only caught one fish, but I only fished for about an hour and a half. And it was way more active. The water was way more active than I thought it was going to be. I was ready for it to be just kind of dead, and it wasn't. Not too late to go fishing. Remember, Bluff City Outdoors over there in Alton, Illinois, open all year round to fill your fishing needs. Find them also online at BluffCityOutdoors.com and find our podcast everywhere that you get podcasts, but especially the radio.com app. That's the best place to get it. Let's go ahead and get John and Jake from Osage County Guns on the line. Fellas, always great to talk with you. How's it going?
Hey, it's going.
So we only have a few minutes left on the show this week, but I have a lot of things that I want to talk to you guys about, so we'll get to as much of it as we can here on the air, and then, like I said, everybody make sure you download the podcast on Monday, the podcast exclusive, so you can hear the rest of our conversation. Before we dive in, what is the latest at Osage County Guns? It's been a little bit since we talked to you. How are things out there as we kind of come to an end of this crazy year? Is it still extremely busy? Is it still hard to keep things on the shelves, or is it calming down a bit?
Yeah, it's I guess it's everything is the same as it was, if not worse, I suppose.
Really?
Or better. Better.
Yeah, it's been crazy busy, but the demand is not dropping. I mean, it's just crazy. We see a lot of inventory coming in, but it's going right back out so fast that we're actually still shrinking inventory, even though we've had, and continue to have these massive shipments coming in every day.
Man, that is incredible. Are you surprised by that? Didn't it feel like at some point everybody should have a gun? We have all these, we've heard all these stories about these first-time gun owners, and which has been a big part of what's driven the craziness in the industry this year. But at some point, don't you feel like everybody's going to get have their guns and feel safe? It's just incredible to me that it's been able to the craziness has sustained as long as it has.
Yeah, I think the country realized that there's not really a gun behind every blade of grass, and so they said we gotta kick these numbers up a little bit.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, it's crazy. Do you have any? Does it show any signs of slowing down, or do you think we're gonna go into 2020 or 2021 just as busy as 2020 has been?
It's not looking good. I think we're not going to see this let up anytime soon. And Jake's more connected to the manufacturers and to our reps. I don't interface with them as much as Jake does. So I'll probably let him, you know, share what he's hearing and seeing. But my thinking is this isn't going away.
Hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hey
Jake.
Guys, can I ask you, if you were to do a percentage of sales between personal protection and hunting and collection, what would that breakdown be for your you know, the bulk of your customers?
That's an interesting question.
You're in the industry and standard, you're always, you know, when you look at firearm sales in general, 60% of firearm sales are handguns. So right off the bat, there's more protection than there is anything else. Then the rest of that percentage, you know, 60% plus is handguns. Then you've got long guns. Out of that, you know, there's a larger portion, probably only about 5% shotguns, you know, 10% maybe long guns, rifle, bolt action rifle-wise. Everything else is a semi-auto, whether an AR, AK style variant. So there's still probably a lot more on the defense side, but the hunting side's really picked up. You know, everybody talks about all these new firearms buyers for the year, but you also have to look at, because of the shortage in food, the amount of hunting participation and new hunters has also climbed.
Right.
And mm-hmm. not as drastic, but it's kind of somebody, I don't think a lot of people really look at it or talk about it much, but the hunting participation and the fact that people are kind of getting out there looking at, well, if I can't buy food, I can at least harvest my own food and put it in the freezer.
And they can get out. And when everything's closed and you're looking for things to do, maybe you're, and I'm serious, like a lot of people have been reintroduced to the great outdoors in this year where people are looking for things to do. And they're kind of remembering that it's pretty cool to go fishing and go hunting and things like that.
Hopefully before a year ago, people would say you're a conspiracy theorist, but now I'm looking at YouTube videos on how to clean squirrel. I'm being serious.
You know, there's a lot to be said that, you know, for several years, myself included, I didn't buy meat from a store for years because I hunted a lot and I was lucky to harvest enough animals to keep in the freezer and provide for my family. And, you know, it's harder to do in certain places at certain times, but I think there's a lot more people out there getting out there. I mean, we're selling hunting rifles and hunting rifles right now. If you haven't found it and you want it, you're going to have to wait. I've got a lot of stuff that's probably not going to be here till April of next year, even if I order it today. So,
how about the collection? Do you guys get collectors in? Specifically the really unique weapons?
Yeah, there's still a pile of people out there looking for stuff, and I think some of that rush gets pushed up because whenever the panic is there, you know, people start to relinquish some old stuff to buy new stuff. And then those collectors kind of pop up and say, well, I better grab it now because I may not grab it later. And so there's definitely a little bit of push for that too.
So some of the things I want to talk about as we wrap this up and go into the podcast exclusive, and just to give you guys an idea of one of the questions I'm going to ask and give a tease to the folks. I've had this question a lot. People that want to give a firearm as a Christmas present. How can you do that? Is it even possible to do that? That's one of the things we're going to discuss in the podcast exclusive. Before we wrap things up here, guys, how can people find and learn more about Osage County Guns?
Easiest way is hit us, Google us, just Osage County Guns. Google will autocorrect if you misspell. on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. But the bulk of our inventory can be found at osagecountyguns.com.
and the stock status is generally very accurate. So if it says it's in stock, it is physically under our roof. And
but you better hurry.
And get it.
Yeah. Get there fast because it's there when you see it. But by the time you drive there, somebody might beat you to it. That is John Dawson and Jake Fair from Osage County Guns. Like I said, we're going to continue our talk with them in the podcast exclusive. So make sure you check that out. And we got to wrap this up for this week's show. My name is Tony Colombo for Carl Middleman and my partner, Bo Matthews. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Here we go. Get more at 971talk.com.